Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, we continue through Matthew chapter 14 and the kingdom of heaven as Jesus proclaimed at the beginning of the gospel. We see today the kingdom of heaven once again filled with compassion and compassion for his people, and in particular for Peter, as he saves him from drowning. We're going to talk a little bit today about how Jesus responds to those who are in desperation. And sometimes it seems as though in our day and time he's not responding, at least not in the way that we would want him to. So this sets us up with a little bit of a struggle today for those who have cried out to God in their time of need and seem to have not really heard much. This gospel lesson today shows us the compassion of God in Christ for his people, and even when we're not sure, even when it seems as though it's quieter than it ought to be. Jesus today responds to Peter in his cry for desperation. He responds to the disciples in their great fear that he is indeed a ghost. The kingdom of heaven, the reign and rule of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit today is one of care and compassion. We start with Jesus walking on water, which is a miracle in itself, and that could be its whole own sermon. I'm not going to talk so much about the miraculous nature of Jesus walking on water, but his responses to those whom he comes in contact with. As he's walking on water today, the disciples, it's nighttime, he's walking on the sea and they're terrified. "It's a ghost," they cry out, and why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you cry out that it's a ghost? Because who else is going to walk on water in the middle of the night when the waves are raging? Why in the world, when the wind is blowing, why in the world would anything else walk on water? But here is Jesus walking out to them. And as they cry out in fear, notice how Matthew records that Jesus immediately spoke to them. He responds quickly to their fear with, "Take courage," or "Be of good courage," "Take heart." Now, sort of like the opposite of compassion. Put your heart back in its place. You know, it's kind of flown out of there. Put it back. "It's I, it's me, it's Jesus. Don't be afraid." Very common response when things of supernatural order in Scripture encounter people, and that response of "do not be afraid," Jesus addresses their fear immediately by saying that it's him, by instilling confidence in them that he's not a ghost. He's not some phantom that's walking on water. He's not an evil spirit or a demonic presence. He's nothing to be afraid of. It's just Jesus. And so Peter then, as Jesus has calmed the disciples, Peter answers with a way only Peter could answer. "If it is you..." Well, you just said it was him. "If it is you, Jesus, then prove it. Tell me to come to you on the water." "If it is you..." Peter is not so quick to be calmed, and he wants to know for sure. If this indeed is Jesus, if it is you, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, then tell me to do this. Now, this question of if is a challenging question. Where has Jesus heard that question of, "If you are the Son of God"? Who has asked him that before? The devil has asked him that before. "Then turn these rocks to bread. Then throw yourself down from the temple. Then bow down. If you are who you say you are, Jesus, then this stuff should be no problem for you. Prove it." Notice Jesus' different response to the devil than his response to Peter. With the devil, he says, it's written. I don't need to prove anything to you. It's written that this is the way it is, that I should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus responds to the devil much differently, a lot less compassion that Jesus has for the devil. It's written. Go look it up for yourself, Satan. You want to know the proof? Here it is. Go find it. Look it up. He's not willing to entertain Satan's requests. Not even a little bit. But Peter asks the same thing. If it is you, prove it. Tell me to walk on water. And notice Jesus' response. He doesn't say, Peter, it's written. When you get out of this mess, go look it up. He doesn't respond that way. He doesn't dismiss Peter. He doesn't show that he's got to prove it some other way. He actually says, come on out. If it is you, Jesus, tell me to walk on water. Tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, all right, come on. And what does Peter do? All right, you said it. We're going to see what happens. And he jumps out of the boat and lands on top of the water and begins to walk out to Jesus on the water. But then what happens? He responds immediately with confidence as Jesus compassionately invites him out and says, come on out. He gets out there and the fear takes over again. The fear, the doubt, the worry, the wind and the waves and everything sort of overwhelms Peter. And it's not that he stopped believing in Jesus. It's not that Peter said, well, there goes my faith out the window. No. We're really quick to talk about that, but that's not what happens. He's overwhelmed with fear and doubt and worry and needfully so. How many times have we, when we've thought we've ventured out in faith and stuff starts to go haywire, and we get overwhelmed with fear, doubt, and worry and anxiety and all of the things just kind of wash over us as we get out there, as we're venturing out in faith, and it just hits us. It happens. And notice Jesus' response as Peter, beginning to drown, it says, beginning to sink under the water, what does Peter cry out? Save me! We hear that cry throughout Scripture. Lord, save us. Lord, deliver us. Lord, have mercy on us. We even sang it not too long ago. It's the same refrain. People cry out when Jesus walks into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. People cry out, Hosanna, which is, Lord, save us. Notice Jesus' reaction to Peter. In his fear, in his doubt, as he's sinking under the water, he cries out for salvation, he cries out for deliverance, he cries out for Jesus to save him from drowning. And Jesus could have, maybe in our experience, could have said as he's watching Peter, ooh, that's rough. You're really going through it, aren't you, Peter? Yeah, I've been there, Peter, I've been there. And he could have given Peter a lecture. But all of the times that others have doubted him, and boy, as Peter's drowning, Jesus could have just talked and talked and talked. He could have said, nope, you got yourself into this mess, you get yourself out. He could have said that. He could have said, well, if you hadn't stopped believing in me, if you hadn't lost your faith, boy, you'd be in a lot better place. He could have said to Peter, pray harder, Peter, pray harder. See what happens, pray harder. What are all of the things that we hear? when we talk about our fear and our worry and we're crying out and people have all sorts of wonderful things to say, you better learn to swim, Peter. Boy, your faith is not that strong, Peter. You didn't do your devotions this morning, did you, Peter? So this is what we run into in our hearts and in our minds when we're in the mess that we're in. But Jesus doesn't give a lecture. He doesn't refer him out to somebody else. He doesn't even toss him a life jacket. What does Jesus do when Peter cries out, "Save me"? He reaches down, it says, with his hand. He takes him by the hand. Jesus responds by venturing into Peter's mess, reaching down and grabs Peter by the hand, pulls him out of the water. Now, yes, he does say, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" He does kind of give him a little bit of something to say, "Hey, you know, this could have gone better for you." But he doesn't lecture. He takes Peter by the hand. And he pulls him out. He responds to Peter's cry for deliverance, for salvation, for preventing him from dying. He grabs him by the hand and pulls him out of the water. And together, they get back into the boat. Together, Jesus takes Peter and gets into the boat. Jesus doesn't get into the boat himself and then lean over the edge and watch Peter as he drowns. He takes Peter by the hand and gets him into the boat. Lord, save me. Save us. Deliver us from all of the struggles and all of the trials and all of the pain that we endure all the time. Deliver us. What does Jesus do? He says, I have. I have already delivered you. He reaches with his hand, this hand that now has holes in it from the nails on the cross. He reaches down with his hand to save us, to give us salvation, to give us forgiveness, to show us his mercy, to deliver us from all of that stuff. Yes, we still go through it. And sometimes it's so hard and it doesn't make a lot of sense. And yes, God sounds quiet. But the promise is that Christ has delivered us. He has taken hold of us and pulled us out of the depths. He has set our feet on something solid. He's put us back in the boat, whatever phrase you want to use as how God has delivered us out, but it's been through the cross. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, we have been delivered from those things. And again, yes, we will go through it. But Jesus has delivered us out of it. And today as we, again, I love having communion every week. Because here again is where Jesus reaches out his hand and says, "Here, take my body. Here, take my blood. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you to deliver you out, to lift you out, to carry you through, and in the end, to bring you to be with me." Lord, save us. And he has. Amen. And now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and minds always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.